Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Hi, welcome on board On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, your genial host. Across from me is Joe McGranahan, Emperor of the World.
I'm a genius?
No.
Whoa!
Self-described.
Handsome, too.
Nah, let's not get carried away here this morning.
Read your paper.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark Lawrence is strikingly handsome.
Thank you. That's all you need to say. Stop right there. All right. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. You can start calling again this week, 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. Or if you're Stan, it's just an ongoing conversation. Just keep on tapping out those messages. We love it. Also, if you're not a Text Connect member, sign up at wkok.com. We text out no more than a dozen messages a month. It's an opportunity for you to find out about breaking news in our valley and also national breaking news, dead celebrities, major weather announcements, major weather changes, not so much any sort of an announcement like a major warning that pops up. And also you can find out about major roads closed around here. So that is WKOK's Text Connect.
You're connecting, are you?
Are you happy now?
Yes, I am. You've gone through everything.
Yep.
Well, we've had a big weekend, and we have a lot of weather information to pass on, right?
No, we don't need to do the winter net. No change in our list since 5 a.m.
Okay. So. Well, what we do have is the ongoing Virginia saga to deal with this morning, because one of our writers has brought that up to our attention.
What?
Yes, EB says, in light of the ongoing discussion of Governor Ralph Northam's blackface photo, here are two things to consider. One, Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz brought known Holocaust denier Charles C. Johnson as his guest of the State of the Union address. Over the weekend, Trump tweeted about Elizabeth Warren again. Aside from hauling out the tired old Pocahontas insult, he also made a crack that seemed to reference the Trail of Tears, in which thousands of Native Americans died. And many Democratic lawmakers are calling for Northam's resignation. Will Republicans do the same for Gaetz and Trump for much more recent racist acts, or will they continue the trend of looking the other way when racism comes from within their own party, i.e. their utter silence regarding Steve King? This is probably a rhetorical question. But, you know, let's face it, there's bad stuff on every side. I looked at the hypocrisy of Whoopi Goldberg, who on The View decried Governor Northam for blackface, and yet a picture of her surfaced over the weekend sitting next to her then-boyfriend, Ted Danson, who was in blackface.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she broke up with him after that. Did she break up with him?
She was smiling and laughing.
At the time.
You know, I think we have to have consistency. I watched a comedy strip from George Carlin over the weekend, and the late George Carlin, who always made me laugh, and he always made you think. You know, I mean, he kind of dirty, I guess, in his language, but he really would make some interesting points. He was talking about consistency. I can't go into what he said, but his point was, you know, that if we're going to say these things, let's be consistent all the way around. You know, it's fine to bring up Governor Northam, and it's fine to bring up Steve King and all the others, but the fact is, what is going to be the punishment for all of these crimes? Is it going to be the same, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, whether they're men or women, whether they're white or black? Or is it going to change based on the current mood of the country and based on what party you're in? We're going to forgive our own, but we're going to want to ruin the other guy.
Well, is common sense always consistent? I think what happens is, I think the mores of the current era determine what our thoughts, you know, and our reactions to some of this kind of thing would be. But some of it just doesn't seem to make common sense. As you mentioned, in West Virginia, you don't have Republicans with a massive outcry about, or Democrats for that matter. We know all the Democrats Democrats want the Governor Northam to step down, but he's not interested in doing so. I like his line over the weekend.
I'm not going anywhere.
Right. West Virginia needs to heal, and I'm a doctor, so that's funny. But in any event...
Oh, I thought you meant the one he said, I'm not going anywhere.
Right. Well, yeah, no, that's not funny. That's just a statement. So, but in any event, I think we do have a lack of consistency here, but on the other hand, there's no common sense either. You know, I don't really mind that everybody's on the same page within the Democratic or the Republican Party, but, you know, this whole blackface thing is deeply offensive to a wide range of individuals,
sure.
and we're finding out that half the population has either done it or been with somebody who was doing it and enjoyed it, and so, you know, I just don't think that maybe we should just, I don't know, declare amnesty if only we can impress upon people why it is offensive and why we do
don't
need to move on.
Don't you think they know it, though, Mark? I mean, let's face it.
Who doesn't know what?
Well, you know, in today's, let's say you and I had painted ourselves in blackface when we were teenagers. We wouldn't do that today. We know better now. We know that it's offensive to people. We know that it's insulting
to a
whole race of people. We wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but for you, there's a 70-year limit. You would be okay because it was 70 years ago. So...
You're in your 50s, so 50 years ago it would have been okay?
30 years. No, I'd be in the 30-year zone. I'd be in trouble. Well, you know, I worry about that because, you know, all of my behavior in elementary and high school held up to the mirror would not, or not held up to the mirror, under the microscope would not help me today. You know, I wouldn't have the job I have today if you know, every bad thing I ever did in my life was raised up again.
When I was a kid, you could go to the corner store and buy all these makeups. You could buy red face makeup at Halloween to dress up like a Native American, or you could buy black face makeup.
Really?
Yes, it was for sale in the stores. You know, and other things that were offensive, like big bow ties and, you know, all of this stuff was for sale.
Big bow ties are offensive.
The caricature of a black person in a big bow tie.
Oh, I gotcha.
Minstrel show type material.
I
mean, you could dress up as a minstrel, and it wasn't considered offensive, and it was for sale at the then, I'm sure it was for sale at Kresge's and Five and Tens, J. Woolworth's, Newberry's. Those old stores?
F.W. Woolworth.
F.W. Woolworth, yeah. And so
J.J. Newberry.
J.J., yes. Well, whatever it was. I remember we called them the Five and Dimes.
What is it? Grant's.
Grant's, right. There was Grant's.
What was it? T. Grant something?
I don't know. I thought we just said Grant's.
Well, yeah, that's what the storefront said. All right. So we'd invite your calls on this. It has been a lot of conversation this week, but really no change, minus the fact that more people have, I think, I'm going to say 30% of the population has been in blackface at some point in their life. So lots more people have come forward and said that they were in this. Well, it's a smaller percentage, but...
Our friend Butterbread here, who was very much against appointing Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, he mentions nothing about the lieutenant governor of Virginia, who has now had two allegations, credible allegations, if you will, of sexual misconduct levied against him.
No intention of stepping down. Well, he says they're lying.
Well, all right, so he deserves due process, the same way Brett Kavanaugh did. He deserves an investigation if he's found to be innocent or there's no corroboration and no substantiation of the charges. What should happen to the guy? Should he be thrown out of office just on the accusation? One of his own party members in Virginia has promised to start impeachment proceedings against him today.
All right, 1-800-795.
Yeah,
yes, 1-800-795.
Well, okay.
Well, I think that is a hearing and an investigation, so there's nothing wrong with having an impeachment proceeding. It doesn't necessarily wouldn't necessarily lead to the vote, but let's hear all this information out. Let's have the women who brought the accusations talk about the time frames and what led up to it and what happened and what happened afterward and why criminal charges weren't brought. We're not victim blaming. We're not doing that. But we just want to make sure that before we impeach him, that we have the full story.
Well, when is the time to bring forth the charges? It would seem to me it would be when the crime occurred. It's like saying 5 years later we decide that you're a bank robber.
Well, that's conventional old white male wisdom. Yes, yes. Oh, as soon as you're raped, you should call the police immediately.
Well, you. Well, women don't want. Sense.
Women don't do that. Okay, so, you know, I don't know.
I don't think it takes away from their credibility. I just think it would make things a lot easier if the crime and the charge were roughly about the same time.
We'll make a note of it.
Thank you.
All victims.
Your condescension is particularly appreciated this morning.
You know, I just think. It's hard for us to decide how women should behave. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. I just wonder what in the world kind of an education you people got who thought it was okay whenever those stores sold blackface things to wear blackface. Didn't anybody ever tell you about slavery and stuff?
Oh, this was the 50s, and that was acceptable makeup as a costume.
No, it wasn't acceptable. Good Lord, I was there. If people who understood would not have thought of running around in blackface.
Were you ever arrested for going into the Woolworths and destroying the blackface makeup that they sold?
Well, that's a strange question.
Well, I just wondered how much protesting you did about it.
What?
You didn't protest it. You didn't. You knew it was available, but you didn't protest it.
I was 8 years old.
And that's how old many of us were who went into the stores and bought that kind of stuff.
Didn't your parents tell you how bad that was?
Not necessarily, because they were even older of a different generation.
And you think that it makes it okay because you're of a different generation?
Did anyone say it was okay? It was acceptable at the time as not being a crime and not being particularly offensive.
Well, I don't find it's a crime. That's number one, of course. I find it, and always have, because I was taught that way, very offensive.
Well, I think we have a clash of sensitivities here. W.T. Grant in the 1950s had that available, and Joe remembers it. You grew up in a different...
Oh, I remember it, too, but my parents let me know exactly what it was about, because they understood that slavery's not funny, it's not something you make fun of.
But then they also sold whiteface.
I'm sure they did. For one thing, there are certain theater productions where blackface, whiteface, and so forth are the norm on stage. And that's what we always thought that kind of stuff was for. Not to make yourself look kind of foolish as a ex-slave or something.
But the difference is the timing. In the 50s, this was... not ostracized. In the 80s, it was, and that's when Northam did it. But there were still people who found it acceptable in the 80s.
I was brought up differently. I was brought up that we don't make fun of people who have been oppressed, and that's why it surprised me when I heard you say, well, it was acceptable.
Could it be made fun of?
Acceptable.
Suppose I wanted to go to a party dressed as Dr. Martin Luther King because I admired him. Wouldn't my thought pattern behind what I was doing be more important than the fact that I just darkened my skin for something?
Yeah, that's what you should do, is have the thought pattern. That's what he was known for. I mean, he was obviously black at a time when that was quite noticeable, because people suddenly realized black people existed other than in bad movies. But I think going as the content of his character is a great idea. The color of his skin, really stupid.
All right.
How would you portray Dr. King?
Well, you have to be creative, Joe. Okay. So obviously,
don't ask me that. I'm not the creative type.
Well,
I would say I am a huge admirer of Dr. King.
As am I.
But I would have no idea how would be the right way to portray him.
But you're certain it wouldn't be in blackface.
My goodness. That is so silly that I can't believe you're saying it out loud.
No, I'm just saying, if you wanted to honor somebody, I would be more interested in your intent than the actual mechanism you chose.
Well, that's exactly what King said, a character, content of character instead of color of skin.
Right.
All right.
I was just rather surprised. The other, just quickly, unless you have a call waiting.
Nope.
I'm interested in what you think about the amount of Russian interference, teaching us what a bad person Hillary was. And when I hear you and other people saying, well, I just didn't like her, are you influenced by that Russian propaganda, do you suppose?
Which one of us, neither Mark or I, liked her?
Yeah, I'm asking you both. Were you influenced?
Yeah, that was the only thing that really changed my view.
Yeah,
and the only place I saw it was on Facebook. So that's where I got all my election information.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know, we're sheeple.
Accurate, I assume.
We're sheeple. We just follow the latest Russian propaganda here. That's what we do.
Well, it does sound that way, sort of. I realize that the lack of careful scrutiny is not something, or is something that many of us seem to do. But actually, I think if you scrutinize it, you'll find that, yeah, she wasn't a terribly likable person. But most of what you know was fed to us by a foreign government, maybe, probably not, but maybe with even the help of our own president.
Well, that hasn't been found to be the case yet.
No, but certainly a whole lot of, let's say, a whole lot of folks who are witches just got caught in the witch hunt.
Well, let me tell you, I think Hillary did more than enough to make herself unpleasant to the American electorate.
Well, certainly you wouldn't be so silly as to fall for Russian propaganda, I am sure. So I don't know where you came up with the negativities about her.
Just by reading the newspaper accounts of her behavior.
Right. Oh, I doubt that very much. I kind of think you were influenced, but I can't. There's no way I can know that. You just seem to be that way.
Well, it all depends on the brand of Kool-Aid you're drinking, Than. Your brand is pretty obvious.
Well, you know, one of the things that kind of bothers me is that this is the answer you have for anything that you disagree with. I've heard what you've said about the young lady who is a new senator who is quite a democratic socialist, and you just dismiss her.
You mean the new
kind of a Kool-Aid drinker? Did you ever think of listening to what she said?
I think you mean the new congresswoman. She's not a senator.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that was my mistake. Yes. The new congresswoman. Listen to it. I try to listen to George Will. I try to listen to your guys. And I learn stuff now and then. And you might find that you have some interest in what she has to say. You may not.
Well, we have a briefing paper here from the Russians that says she's bad news. So,
well, that's the way we got to go, right?
She's I'm bad afraid news. That's all I'm really permitted to read. It says do not bone up on the topic. Do not read anything else about her unless it's exclusively negative or written in Russian.
Mine says AOC bad.
Yep. I understand. It does take less thought to do it that way, but it may not be the best way
to
run a country.
We've got to take a break right now. Putin's on the phone. He wants to tell us how to think for the next segment.
Okay, well, I know you're susceptible, so go listen.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're pretty gullible.
See you later.
All right, thank you so much, Than. We'd love to talk to you.
All right. Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah, right.
Than, our good co-host on the line, an equal opportunity caller-outer. All right, On the Mark's toll-free line is now open, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. It's sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. We want you to know that every dollar that you spend at a local pharmacy gets spent locally 10 times over. You can support all the people in your local community by supporting a hometown pharmacy. Well, how does that work? Well, what happens when you support a pharmacy? Guess what? They take that dollar and they spend it in their community because they favor local hometown businesses as well. So you might see, for example, at the Norrie Pharmacy, you might go right up the street to the garage or the restaurant right there in town. Of course, he's going to be buying his subs at the nearby sub shop, and Steve is going to be patronizing local business. That's the main point of hometown pharmacies. You get super service, you get fabulous knowledge and wisdom and warnings and informations that you need to know about, but you also are helping your hometown. So help your hometown pharmacy, Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Lewisburg Pharmacy.
Oh, the weather outside's been frightful. School cancellations are delightful. I wanna go play in the snow. Let's go, let's go, let's go! Why is it that only kids are excited when it snows? Mom gets all crazy about going to the store for bread, milk, and eggs, and Dad runs to the hardware store for more salt. One of the quickest stops we make is our hometown pharmacy. We call ahead for our prescriptions, pick them up, and head on home to build the biggest snow fort on the block.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Can anyone tell me, what's the big deal about bread, milk, and eggs? I mean, what's everybody gonna do? Sit inside and eat French toast while watching Snowmageddon hit?
Your hometown pharmacy. Making a difference every season, every day.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we are talking about Joe's. It's not mine. Joe's obvious Russian influence in his decision-making and his opinion. So we appreciate Than pointing that out.
I have to have my borscht this morning.
I know. See, this it's gotten out of control. To that end, one of our texters sent us a message.
It says, Mr. Mitchell, Russia did not dissuade me from voting for Hillary. What I know of her is why I didn't vote for her. But if thinking vodka help flavored Kool-Aid is what helps you sleep at night, keep calm and drink on. That's signed Joe from Mifflinburg.
All right, and his next text is drinking, not thinking. I'm not quite sure what that entails. Oh, maybe the vodka. I gotcha. All right, so we have open phones right now, 1-800-795-9565. Speedy dialers only at this point.
We were talking about Virginia, and there was a story you sent me this morning.
State of Virginia.
At the time, Virginia's future political leaders put on blackface in college for fun. Dan Aykroyd wore it, too, in the 1983 comedy Trading Places. Sports announcers of that time often described Boston Celtics player Larry Bird, who is white, as smart, while describing his black NBA opponents as athletically gifted. Such racial insensitivities ran rampant in popular culture during the 1980s. The era in which Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and the state's Attorney General Mark Herring have admitted to wearing blackface as they mimicked pop singer Michael Jackson and rapper Curtis Blow, respectively. Meanwhile, Chicago elected its first black mayor. Michael Jackson made musical history with his Thriller album. U.S. college students protested against South Africa's racist system of apartheid. And stereotype-smashing comedy The Crosby Show debuted on television. So the 80s was a time of change.
Okay. And I guarantee you, whomever appeared in blackface, you know, let's say from the 50s on, to use Than's time frame, didn't realize the deep offense, because they wouldn't have done it if they had known. Woolworths didn't say it. Oh, and one of our listeners says W.T. Grant.
Oh, yeah, W.T. Grant. That was
actually
it.
It's W.T. Grant exclamation point. W.T. exclamation point. Okay, I want to be clear that I'm being corrected and chastised
at the same
all
time.
At one time.
All right.
And I won't tell you who sent that, but she's driving to work right now. Anyway.
Mrs. Grant, probably.
Yes, that's probably who it was. All right, but anyway, nowadays we know, you know, and honestly, until it came up in recent weeks, I knew blackface was highly inappropriate, but I wouldn't say that I really delved deeply into why. I knew it was inappropriate, and I knew it was offensive and would have never done it. But now that we've had all this, and we had some great coverage over the weekend, and we posted on WKOK's Facebook page a great series of remarks about it with full interviews, and there was an AP story over the weekend. We know so much more about it today.
Sure.
That no one in the near or distant future is going to be in blackface. Okay, so I think we should put that wisdom behind us, use common sense when we're calling for resignations or impeachments, and sort of move on. I still think Governor Northam should resign, but I do like what he said over the weekend, is that, you know, every year his wisdom multiplies, and he's a much bigger and better person than he was today. He is today than he was then.
Well, and he's pledged to spend the rest of his term working for racial equality and, you know, improving race relations. I would think that that was probably something he did just to pander to the people who are calling for his resignation. You know, if the problem exists in Virginia, and Virginia is a southern state and it was in the Confederacy, you have to think there'd be some residual antipathy toward black people down there. How it expresses itself, I don't think they'd go out dressing up in blackface. But what I was trying to remember, you know, every year the Halloween store opens around here and they sell all this makeup. And I don't remember whether they sold blackface makeup this year or not.
Mm.
But they do sell makeup to put yourself for Halloween. And if they do, it isn't for blackface. It's something you could use it for blackface, but I don't think they advertise it that way.
Well, we've had a million words about this. I hope we are a million words wiser, but a lot of it is just more, you know, more stuck in the mud, okay, you know, so more divisive.
What's
comments.
More offensive? There was all this talk, too, back when they were picking on those poor kids from Covington, Kentucky. They were doing the tomahawk chop. Well, that's a feature of Seminole football, isn't it, in the South?
Well, it was Seminoles. Part of the Atlanta Braves and maybe the
And then, you know, they use the word as racist, the racist tomahawk chop. What is racist about that exactly?
I guess it's a caricature of what Native Americans, it's a sarcastic caricature of, I guess all caricatures are sarcastic, of what Native Americans use as a weapon. So, I don't know.
I haven't seen a Native American carrying a tomahawk in a long time.
Well, you got to go back to the movies for that. All right, well, to be continued. Political correctness and common sense, they're getting divorced. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. And we have Rob Center as our fabulous super-duper producer. So we appreciate all of these individuals gathered to help move the show along. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or text us at 70236. If you aren't a Text Connect member, text us at 70236, including the message, the word WKOK, and then a space, then your message. And of course, ideally, just sign up for Text Connect, and you'll be receiving important information when we have it to pass along. Lion Mountain School District closed today as investigation continues into Friday's out-of-state hoax incident involving swatting, where individuals from a distant location call in a false 911 report on another location. School district officials say after discussions with state police and the ongoing investigation, they decided to cancel today's classes. A 3 to 6 inch snowfall is the reason some schools are on 2 hour delays today. We have the full list at WinterNet today, or check that. They are on delay because of the overnight snowfall, and most likely we'll have announcements at this time tomorrow because of the 3 to 6 inches of snow that is in our forecast. AccuWeather says snow arriving toward evening and then ice after midnight. State House member Fred Keller hopes to fill the seat in the U.S. Congress vacated by Tom Marino. Keller says he's not against border security and elaborates on who we are securing our border from.
You have immigrants and you have illegal aliens. And I know some people over the years have changed that to an illegal immigrant, and now we're dropping the illegal part. And we're not calling the person illegal. We're calling the action they take to come here illegal.
You can hear the entire Fred Keller interview on last Friday's On the Mark program at WKOK.com. And Grammy Awards kicked off Sunday with a group of powerful women, including Michelle Obama and Lady Gaga, describing the role of music in their lives, a display that came a year after female voices were muted during the 2018 ceremony. Music has always helped me tell my story, Mrs. Obama said at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Whether we like country, rap, proper rock music helps us share ourselves. Gaga told the crowd that they said I was weird, that my look, my choices, my sound wouldn't work, but my music told me not to listen to them. Jada Pinkett Smith and Jennifer Lopez also spoke and stood in solidarity with Obama, Gaga, and Alicia Keys, who was hosting the show, saying, "Yes, ladies, there's nothing better than this." Did you watch the opening of the Grammys?
No, but it's hard to take anybody seriously who's named Gaga.
Well,
sounds like something my grandson, who is 5 months old, says, "Gaga."
You better take her seriously, because she is
good singer, though.
A real force in the music
she
industry
certainly
today.
Is. Yes, she
did
is.
A fabulous job in the Star Is Born movie, too.
I didn't see that movie.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that funny? You see all these dumb ones and you don't see the good ones.
Well, it's been remade so many times. I've seen the first five. Why do I need to see number six?
Gaga lights it up and does the best performance ever.
I understand she was incredibly good at it. So.
All right. All right. 1-800.
I just wish she'd change her name back to whatever it was before she started. I'm sure she wasn't born Lady Gaga.
Okay.
Do you know her real name?
No, but what difference does it make? She's a fabulous performer. Why do you have to choose such trivial front-facing aspects of women and say, "Oh, unless they perform a certain way, I'm not going to take them seriously"?
Well,
unless they look a certain way or have a certain name.
When I started in radio, they wouldn't allow me to use my last name. They said it sounds like a disease. So I was told I had to change my name. So for years, I used my first and middle name, Joe Anthony. So I think now today...
Oh, Joe Anthony, but people would confuse you with Joe Anthony
around here, right, and I'm sure they would have.
Okay, just in case you're curious, Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanata.
Germanata.
Stephanie Germanata.
All right, Lady Gaga's better.
There you go.
There you go.
One more time, Rob.
Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanata.
Germanata. Okay,
that's a
Lady
lot of
Gaga.
Names.
That is okay. Well, I can see why she picked Lady Gaga. It's a lot easier to remember.
It's probably the acronym for all that. We don't know.
It could well be. Anyway, we are back. We have another email here. Our writer says, "I guess I should take offense that Michael Jackson's attempted to look white, and I know someone is going to say he had a pigment problem with his skin, so why did he have his nose changed to more of a white person's look? Should we take away all his awards and banish his name from history today for something he did years ago?"
Well, everything I know about Michael Jackson would fit on the head of a pin, but I believe he was changing his nose to look more like Diana Ross.
Well, where did you come up with that?
I just picked it up somewhere.
Yeah, I always thought it was to look more like his sister, LaToya.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, where did she pick it up? Was she born with her nose, or did she have it changed?
That was her natural nose.
All right, well, then maybe that's what he did. In any event...
Well, he wasn't trying to look like a white person, though.
Well, no, but he didn't have that skin pigmentation problem earlier in his life. If you look at the original Jackson 5 albums, he was much darker than he was at the end of his career.
Right.
So something obviously changed. Whether it was something he did or something that affected him, I don't know. Do you?
Well, this is a ridiculous conversation to start. I mean, what Michael Jackson did or didn't do to his skin is...
Well, I don't think he was attempting to impersonate a white person. Let's put it that way. I don't think there was any racial attempt to racially appropriate the characteristics of a white person on the part of Michael Jackson. Would you agree with me on that?
Right. And can you white-a-size your nose?
Is there
a white nose?
Well, there is I always like Bob Hope's nose, but I wouldn't go out and get my nose changed to it.
A little ski slope.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it was. Now,
that's what he called it. I'm not making fun of him.
We have another issue that has come up over the weekend. I'm not certain I can pronounce her name. Representative Omar, her first name is I-L-L-H-A-N, Yehan or Elhan?
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with this whole story yet.
Democrat in Michigan. She sparked backlash Sunday evening from members of both parties, including former first daughter Chelsea Clinton, after she accused a prominent lobbying group of paying members of Congress to support Israel. Omar, who became the first Somali-American woman elected to Congress in November, responded to a Twitter post by journalist Glenn Greenwald criticizing House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy for threatening to take action against Omar and another freshman lawmaker, Rahisha Tlaib of Michigan, over alleged anti-Semitic remarks. He said, there are situations in our conference where a member does something that is wrong. I think you've seen from my own actions that I take action about it, McCarthy told reporters Friday, apparently an attempted reference to Republican Congressman Steve King of Iowa. I think when they stay silent, they are just as guilty. I think this will not be the end of this. If they do not take action then, I think you will see action from myself. It's unacceptable in this country, especially when you sit back and think about what happened in this country and what it went through in World War II. Greenwald accused McCarthy of targeting Omar and Tlaib for their numerous criticisms of Israel, to which Omar chimed in, "It's all about Benjamin's baby," quoting a 1997 rap song by Puff Daddy. She then doubled down when challenged by Batya Unger Sargon, the opinion editor of the Forward newspaper. In response, Omar tweeted that the AIPAC is reportedly paying money to people in Congress to support Israel. So what do you think of that?
I can't follow it.
All right. So she...
You're lost here?
Yes. She's calling out individuals who receive money from Israeli lobbyists?
She's saying that, in effect, that the only reason you would support Israel in the United States Congress is because somebody paid you money to do so.
What?
That's the overall threat, or the gist of what I'm getting out of her comments.
What happened to our allied relationship with
Israel? She's claiming that ALPAC, the American, or AIPAC, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee, has been accused by progressives for agitating for a conflict with Iran over the years, and supposedly they are paying congressmen to support Israel.
Oh, dear.
You know, and I was looking for the comment that one Jewish person made about this. Zuhidi Jesser, a physician and president of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, took Cheney's call a step further, and then Lynn Cheney, who has also come out against these folks for what they said, arguing that removing Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee would be a good first step, followed by a swift sanction against her for bigotry as unfit for the U.S. Congress, with removal from all committees. Ignoring this would be a bigotry of low expectations to a new low for Muslims. So that's a Muslim person calling for them to be censured for this. So what do you think? Does it bother you? I mean, we're talking about making fun of black people.
Yes, it bothers me tremendously.
What about anti-Semitism?
I don't know. We've been such an—I hate to say this, but we've been such an ally with Israel for so long. We tend not to come down, at least publicly or financially, against Israel, even though we don't like what they do sometimes, you know, in terms of their government.
What don't we like that they do? I mean, they stand up for themselves. They're surrounded by people who are vowing to eliminate them from the face of the earth. I'd say they have to be pretty militant just to survive.
To them, everything's a nail, and they only use a sledgehammer. That's all they got. So I think, you know, they're over-response at times. And, you know, Israel's hurt hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of innocent individuals with some of their military responses. But they are defending themselves, and to that end, we kind of give them a pass on this. It seems that this is out of my realm, but it just seems to me that we've been such an ally with them, we overlook a lot, you know, that they do.
Well, what would you have them do, out of curiosity, differently?
Oh, my gosh. Well, in some of the border conflicts that they have, you know, lobbing bombs into residential neighborhoods, even though that country's, you know, encroached on your border, I don't think that's right.
When have they ever done that without it being in response to someone doing it to them?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They respond with a sledgehammer when something happens on their border, somebody encroaches, or they're not happy with what's happening on their border. But that's their prerogative. You know, if you're attacked, you can attack back. If somebody attacks you on your border, you attack deep into the country of the other, of the oppressor or the attacker. So, well, it's, you know, if it's like bombing London, you know, the Germans did it so that it would have an impact on the people, not on, you know, just the government leaders or the soldiers who were fighting in the war. You know, they wanted it to have an impact on the people, like when we bombed Japan. We didn't want it to be a statement that just the military leaders would hear. We wanted everybody in Japan to hear it.
Well, we certainly did, and we also took part in fire raids over Germany during World War II. The Dresden raid in particular killed hundreds of thousands of people. You know,
but in modern days, when Israel does this to their neighbors because of these ongoing conflicts, We don't take action against that, and that means you are in effect defending it. And I think that is a defensible position. You know, I'm not. I'm just saying we've been such an ally with them, so that when they do something that we don't like, this congresswoman or they're lobbied in such a way, this congresswoman wants us to draw a hard line on that. Maybe it's time to revisit all of this, but I'm just saying in the past, this has been the U.S. position on Israel.
All right, but here you have two Muslim women who were elected to the United States Congress, and they're, you know, instead of representing their districts, they're coming down on Israel. Is that what they were elected to do?
Well, I think when you get to Congress, you're supposed to participate in all the national discussions, not just the ones that relate. You're not like a state representative where you take the voice of your constituents to Harrisburg versus a state senator who tends to look at things a little bit more broadly.
But even their own Muslim people, some of their own Muslim people have condemned them for what they've done, for taking the Jewish state to task. I think if we don't learn to live in peace with each other, we've got a real problem over there. And the Middle East has always been a powder keg.
I think we have a real problem over there.
All right, but maybe I'm oversimplifying, but seriously, I think the first step in this process has to be for Israel's neighbors to admit that they have a right to exist. And so far, most of them haven't done that.
Okay. But what's the U.S. role in that?
Well, the U.S. role was to try and get them to come to the peace table, both sides. Jimmy Carter, the Camp David Accords, was a good start. President Clinton had a similar, maybe not as great a success when he tried it. President Trump's going a different route by siding more with Israel. You know, there were all these dire predictions of what would happen when we moved our embassy to Jerusalem.
Well, President Underwood tried it, too.
President Underwood?
Yes.
Talking about
House of Cards.
House of Cards, okay.
So a lot of presidents have tried to bring
Frank it. Underwood.
Right.
You know, he's kind of disgraced at this point, isn't
he? Yeah, he's off the...
Anyway, I just don't think it's a good idea to have, you know, these congresswomen coming down on a foreign country. You know, we always say what the president's doing is wrong. He speaks about our allies. He's driving our allies down. Aren't these women doing the same thing?
Why defend what these women do? If they are voicing something they think is a wrong, they should voice it. If these, you know, the congressmen and women in Washington, their heads have been gone into the vortex, and it's all influenced by what did you call them? It's all responsible for the dollars, the bucks.
It's the Benjamins.
Right. I like that. Well, yeah, that's Tom Marino in a nutshell. You know, all the conservative money that he got determined all of his viewpoints. And after a while, he said, look, I don't even need to see my constituents anymore or hear from them anymore. All I need to do is, you know, follow where these good donors are telling me to go. And that's what he did.
Well, left-wing historian and Politico magazine contributing editor Joshua Zeitz tweeted, I'm one of those American Jews who opposes the occupation of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and he laments Israel's anti-democratic drift and doesn't regard the country as especially central to his Jewish identity. But he says, I knew exactly what the congresswoman meant. She might as well have called us hook-nosed. You know, he found that very offensive, even though in some regards he agrees with her. So, I mean, I think the whole context of this, Virginia, blackface, it all ties together because it is people who are offending other people based on whether they are their religion, their color, or their ethnic background. You know, if we're going to condemn one, again, I go back to what George Carlin, the thing I saw about George Carlin over the weekend when he was talking about the need for consistency. If we're going to be outraged by one thing, let's be outraged by all these things.
One of our listeners agrees.
Says that fine congresswoman from Minnesota, Omar, is a typical leftist with an anti-Israeli bias. She complains that people who support Israel only do it because they're paid to. Is that why she supports the terrorist Palestinian Authority? Because she's paid to? Oh, fair question.
1-800-795-9565. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will be enjoying a telephone call, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC Way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. Rob Center keeping the calls coming. We appreciate that. And filling in with factual information about all things music
Lady
and
Gaga's
entertainment.
Real name.
Right, and Michael Jackson. So we appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking about Israel.
We are.
And a U.S. Congresswoman who's calling out members of the U.S. Congress whose votes are, and discussions are influenced by Israel's lobbying arm or individuals lobbying on behalf of Israel.
Allegedly right. Being paid to lobby for Israel.
Well, we know Congress members don't have a brain and they only go where they're paid, so they only follow the Benjamins. We know that much is true.
And meanwhile, we're following Russian propaganda ourselves. So.
Right. Dan's the only person that thinks for himself. But then again, there's Paul.
Hello, Paul. Joe.
I'm surprised that you didn't mention the 999, the 9999 outfit.
Oh, that's quadruple nine. You added another nine.
Okay, 999. And then there was the Tuskegee Airmen. And then there was an outfit that was compiled by all kinds of people that were prisoners, and they were called the Dirty Dozen. And they had a mission that was a suicide mission. And out of the 12, only four came back.
Wasn't that a movie, Paul?
It was, but it was based on information that was taken from Army files. And if you get the book called The Killing of Patton, you'll find out how they organized that group and what their mission was. They were to go and destroy a castle in which all the German intelligent people and their officers, and they figured that by killing these people that they would shorten the war in Europe. And out of the 12, there was only four that came back.
How does that tie in with what we were discussing? You've lost me.
It doesn't.
Okay, you were talking before about a guy that was blackfaced and a guy that had a hood. But during this time period, everybody got along because it was a time of emergency, and it was also a time of gathering and being there when they needed them. The 999 shelled a hill for 3 days and three nights so that an attack could be made. And, of course, you know that about the Tuskegee Airmen. They were the best pilots because they never lost a bomber on a run.
Well, you imply that there was total racial harmony during World War II, which is not correct. There were actual race riots in several cities, and then there were the Zoot Suit Riots in Los Angeles, which were also ethnic race riots.
I know, but this is to show the other side of what people don't see or hear, and they base their opinion on what is given to them by the media.
Okay. I'm still not certain I'm 100% with you, but and Mark's looking more confused than I am. Mark, what don't you understand?
999, the only thing I know about 999 is in texting lingo, it's an ultra emergency. It's more important than a 911 text.
I know, but it was an outfit during the war.
Okay.
What outfit during the World War II was called 999?
It was an artillery outfit that shelled a mountain so that the I guess it was a plan or a project or whatever it was could be taken, and these guys did it 24 hours a day for 3 days, and they were all black.
The 999th Artillery.
I could only find the German unit with 999th. The 999th Africa Brigade.
Paul may be onto something here. The 999th Field Artillery Battalion. What does it say about them? Oh, it was in the Korean War. It wasn't in World War II, Paul. It was the Korean War. And what does it say about them? Well, my phone is going slowly, and now it's locked up. But in any event.
But other than that.
Other than that. Well, thank you for calling, Paul.
Yeah, we're going to look that up. I can't find it.
Well, I entered 999th Artillery.
The only thing I can find is 999th Africa Brigade was a German unit.
In the Africa Corps, yes. So, well, Paul's confused us, and I'm sure we're putting everybody else to sleep because we're.
Sleep. They've already driven off the road, crashed, and are on the way to the hospital.
Thank you, Paul.
1-800-795-9565. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Monday's off to a rousing start with a lot of great organization and cohesive message and wonderful discussions. Not. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Dan, please glue us back together again.
Hey, good morning, guys. I don't know if I can do that, but I'll tell you what, the glue that makes America great is because we are supporters of Israel. And in God's word, any nation that supports his people do receive blessings. They may be spiritual, they may be monetarily, like we're blessed monetarily, our stock market's great, and it's partly because we support Israel. We're one of Israel's best friends they've ever had, and God's word does promise blessings to them that bless his people. And there's been nations destroyed that didn't support his nation. The Moabites were wiped out because they didn't support Israel. And will there ever be peace in Israel? Not a lasting peace.
Was this recently, Dan?
No, the Moabites were back in
900 B.C.
B.C., yeah, they were in B.C. times. And when they were leaving it, when they left Egypt on their trip to the Canaan land.
You have anything more recent?
Well, look at our country. We're being blessed. And I think the one reason the United States is still a representative republic, one of the many reasons is because we do support Israel, starting with Harry Truman back in 1947.
These Congress people are claiming that the only reason we support them is because we're being paid to.
That's the way they see it. The way I see it, we support Israel because it's the right thing to do. And somehow, some people here have the wisdom to know that Israel has always been God's chosen people right from the time he chose Abraham out of paganism. And that's why we believe. I think most evangelical Christian voters, one of the many reasons we voted for the current president is because he was a staunch supporter of Israel, and we knew that our country was going to be blessed all the more because we were supporters of Israel and so is our current president.
Are you troubled by any of Israel's actions, as Mark is?
They're only defending themselves. That's all they're doing. They're trying to survive in a place that's almost impossible for a country that small. It's so small there that they're only trying to defend what they have. And also, they don't have the land that was given to them by the Almighty God. They only have a little portion of it. And in the future, they're going to get all their land back, too. And it won't be because of our intervention. It'll be because of divine intervention that they'll get their land back. It'll become, during the kingdom on earth, they'll get their land back, all every bit that the Almighty God gave them. So they will get it back.
So is the U.S. economy booming because of God's blessing on Israel or because of President Trump?
Well, it's because of our country's attitude. Yeah, Trump only, he represents us, and he's more in favor of Israel than the past president. The past president wasn't all that supportive of Ben, and the leader of Israel, but this president, they have a great relationship.
All right.
And I think that's part of the reason that we are blessed people. And the reason we're still standing as a representative democracy, because we do support the Israelis,
okay,
with whom God supports.
All right. Well, you got your point.
Thank you so much.
Yep, you guys have a great one.
Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565. We got 4 open phones right now. We're talking about one congresswoman has called out all the individual congressmen and women who are enjoying lots and lots of money from Israeli lobbyists and influencing our government.
Well, here's something that I think might get your
blood boiling.
All right,
here we go.
All right, here we go. A Florida teacher has been fired for giving 0% to students who didn't turn in their homework.
All right, so the student comes back from the day off.
A Florida teacher was fired for giving zeros to students who didn't turn in their homework. School policy says that the lowest grade teachers can give is 50%. The student and parent handbook for West Kate K through 8 school in Port St. Lucie, Florida, says no zeros will be given to students. The lowest possible grade they can get is 50%. A teacher was fired for giving a 0% to students who did zero work, and she wants that policy to change. Motivation, inspiration, that's what Diane Triado strives to provide her students as a longtime teacher. So she sought the same when she started teaching 8th grade history at Westgate in Port St. Lucie last month. This was maybe 2 months ago now. But when she assigned an Explore Notebook project to the kids, several students didn't turn it in. She gave them 2 weeks to turn it in, but they didn't do anything. Triado found out about the school's no-zero policy reflected in the student and parent handbook. She talked to a parent at the school who agreed with the policy, but she said, "You don't know what's going on at home, and what you see is front level, because if my son blatantly chooses not to do it, he knows he's got an issue. Isn't that right?" Triado was fired September 14th, but there's no cause mentioned in the letter from the principal since she was still in her probationary period. On her last day, she wrote a message to her students on her whiteboard before she left. She sent out a picture of it through a class app. It said, "Bye, kids. Mrs. Triado loves you and wishes you the best in life. I have been fired for refusing to give you 50% for not handing anything in. Signed, Mrs. Triado." Her students responded, "You are right about not giving people 50s, one of the students said. Triado then posted the message on Facebook, where it's been shared thousands of times. So, what about that? You know, what she said at the end, she said, "I'm upset. We have a nation of kids that are expecting to get paid and live their life just for showing up. It's not real," she explains. And she's right. It's not.
Well, I think she's right, but I don't think you should just carve out one particular school district policy that when you came on board initially you agreed that you would follow, and then decide, okay, well, all of a sudden this particular policy doesn't apply to me anymore. I'm giving kids zero. I have more wisdom than the school board and the administrators that set up this policy.
Well, explain the wisdom to me of giving somebody 50% for doing nothing.
Well, first of all, we have to decide whether we're going to argue the policy or the firing. The termination is for not following the policy.
If
she's not going to do that, the district, I think, is they're safe to fire her.
I think she was right to ignore a policy that is ludicrous.
Well, that may be. Okay, right. So now we're into the policy itself. So you think the termination is the right thing to do because she violated
the policy? No, I think the policy is insane, and the school district should be punished. They should be fired for coming up with such a bizarre and stupid policy.
Right. Well,
I mean, who in life gives you 50% for doing nothing?
Well, I don't think this is life. This is schoolwork. This is academic homework that kids are doing.
But what does it teach the kids? What does it teach them? That's her point.
I think that what they don't want students to do is to plummet so far in their grade that it's incomprehensibly low, that their score goes so low just because they can't do one assignment. I think if they do the preponderance of the assignments and for some reason this notebook is beyond their abilities or their time or, you know, their, as the district seems to allude to, the fact that their home life is such that they can't do that particular element of homework, I think you should get a pass on not doing one assignment. I think, in you and I literally would think, okay, well, then that's what you deserve as a zero. That's fine. But we don't know what this school district's trying to compensate for. We don't know what's going on in the kid's life. And so, therefore, this idea of not giving kids a zero, I think it's a defendable policy.
If they turned in something, let's say it was a crappy report. I mean, it was just poorly done, poorly written. Then I could say, okay, well, they turned something in, 50%
right,
is what
they get.
Right, if
they turn in a notebook that only has a few words in it, at least that's something, right?
Right. They showed that they were at least
they comprehended the assignment.
They were aware of the project. They were aware of the fact there was a deadline for it, and they turned something in. Maybe then I could see giving them a 50%. But when they don't turn in anything, when they ignore the assignment, what do they deserve other than a zero? And does this woman really deserve to be fired for common sense, which is you don't do the work, you don't get the grade?
Well, I think school districts today fancy themselves more than just individuals to hand out assignments, grade them, and give the kids a grade. I think they see themselves as individuals that can really raise up the kids through not only academic work, but through meals. Of course, they make sure that the kids get a breakfast and a lunch and send them out with a backpack on the weekend so they get something for dinner. So I think they're trying to make sure that if anything could break whatever cycle the kid's living in, and I don't know what it is, whether it's poverty or violence or, you know, drug use or whatever it is, I think if you're giving a kid a 50% instead of a zero in hopes that you can, you know, hold on to them, because if the kid can't perform, you give them zero, you flunk them out and he's gone, I don't think you're doing yourself a service.
You're assuming that there was some legitimate motive behind not turning in this report. What if there wasn't? What if the kid just decided not to do the work?
Well, then the kid's...
I'm going to get 50% anyway, so why should I do this?
Well, I think that's the kid's prerogative. I think
really?
You could... Right.
To not do the homework.
Right, and to get a failing mark on it. It's still a failing mark. I don't know. Let's see what our audience thinks. This is pretty good stuff around here, because I think a lot of kids or a lot of people think that the kids coddle kids too much or don't grade them too low or let them have too many absences or don't hold them back sufficiently from one grade to another because of the embarrassment factor.
You're implying that the school should be a social petri dish where they take into consideration all the elements of
what
a
child's
going through.
You're arguing evidence not in testimony, as to use your phrase.
Well,
I think the school district has justifiable grounds for coming up with this based on that element that you just don't know the situation that the kids are in and you can probably do better. All right, we want folks to weigh in on this. You have a school district where a teacher's fired because they violated a school policy, knowingly violated a school policy and gave students zero if they ignored repeated attempts for them to turn in a particular project assignment. The school district, though, says no, that actually the lowest grade you can receive on anything is a 50% and not a zero. Now, the teacher was rightfully fired in Joe's mind because she violated the policy.
Oh,
you
fired.
Think she should do this protest,
yes,
and give kids the 50%.
You're always saying you should protest what you think is unjust and unfair. This is certainly unjust and unfair.
Well, the district seems to think that there's more to life than just homework, so we're going to talk about this. 1-800-795-9565. Is there any way the district can be in the right if they don't let students get a zero? The lowest grade you can get is 50%. I want to hear from the hardliners out there that don't care about what the district's doing and they just want kids to fail.
text us or email us or call us, 1-800-795-9565, text at 70236, or call us, 1-800-795-9565. Even if the district is probably on sound ground, trying to help kids that are in a dire situation by making sure that they
don't know
just
they're in
fail
a dire
out.
Situation.
Well, read that sentence again, where the district justifies this in part by saying that you don't know where the students are coming from.
I didn't even see that part in here.
Read it. Well, all right, well, you can find it during the break.
Student handbook.
Joe will look that up. Audience, call us now. Should kids be given a 0 or a 50% as the lowest failing grade? 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. Go ahead.
One of our emailers says, oh, come on, Mark. What are we teaching these kids? No work, no grade. When they grow up, they'll be trained to do no work and expect to get paid. Quit making excuses for these lazy kids.
All right. Joseph, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling
in. I agree 100%, man. If you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't work, you don't receive a reward. If you don't win, you don't get a trophy. Come on, wake up here. Man, oh man, it's like Cortez's new green program. You can get paid even if you don't want to work. Well, hey, I know human nature because I'm a human being. And we're basically, not everybody, but kind of lazy. If we can get something for nothing or the easy way, we're going to take that way. That's the way the river flows. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And this is ridiculous. It's just it's going. It's like killing infanticide, killing a baby after it's born because maybe it's a little deformed or something, or it's autistic, and we don't want to bother with that child. We just kill it. It's just another step in the progression of the evil that's taken over this land. It's just like. Gateway drugs with marijuana. It is a gateway drug, you know. I'll put it this way, to anyone that would want to legalize it, if you're going in for an operation and the doctor said, I just smoked a couple of joints and now I'm going to operate on you, would you want that guy to operate on you? Or if you're driving down the road with your family in the car, would you want other people to be smoking dope that are on the highway and their minds are impaired? The reaction is impaired, just like a drunkard?
Well, so
I never smoked marijuana.
But DUI should be illegal. I agree there. I'm not arguing that pot should be illegal to drive under the influence, but so you shouldn't do that. But you should be able to smoke it in your own home if you want to. That's harmless enough.
Well, and I understand what you're saying, but these people do smoke it in their homes. They get high and they want to go out and go to the store or go somewhere. They're going to hop in their car and go.
Well, that's a crime. It's just like drinking, DUI. Do you think
it's a crime.
Alcohol should be illegal?
But people say what people do in their own house or in their own bedroom, that's their business. I disagree in this respect. If you read the scriptures in Deuteronomy, he says, and he's talking about man lying with man as like he would lie with a woman. He said, because of this, the land will vomit you out, Yahweh said. So what they do in their bedroom affects me and you.
Okay.
I'll give you another example.
No, we have to get another call, though. But
just quickly,
summary
statement.
King David
was a good king, but he decided to number Israel, to take a census, to see how many warriors he had. And Yahweh caused a plague to come on Israel, and 70,000 innocent Israelites died because of what this king did. What do you think about what President Obama has done?
All right.
You
not,
know, it's okay
not,
for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman.
Not good. Not good. Not good. Okay. Thank you so much. Bob, you get a minute on the radio. Go right ahead.
Yes, gentlemen. I listened to this thing, and I'm just shocked. I mean, it's been a few years since I was in school, but when I went to school, I was always told you learn things to become a more productive person in society. You are working to get skills necessary to get a job, to be able to pay for yourself. I mean, I would ask either one of you, if you believe that this 50% idea is okay, go into your boss this afternoon and tell him, I'm not going to come in the rest of the week, but still pay me half my pay. See how far you get.
You wouldn't get very far.
Well, just use my many days of accumulated unused vacation day. But anyway, okay. All right, Bob, we got
you're
you.
Right.
Thank
you're
you, sir.
Absolutely right.
Thank
Bob.
You very
Thank
much.
Thank you for calling.
Yep, appreciate that. Chris, you get a minute on the radio. Go right ahead.
Hey, yeah, go in and tell your boss you're not following his rules and while you're still on probation and see what happens.
Okay. Right, and sound advice. What's 50, that have to do with students?
She was on probation.
50 is the new zero. But that's just, they just changed the scale, that's all. 50 being, you're on a, being graded on a scale from 50 to 100. So what?
Okay.
Well, so what? I mean, I think it makes a big difference. If you don't do any work, you don't get any credit.
At all.
If you don't get any work, you don't get any credit.
Joe used to walk 2 miles in the snow to school, and he wants kids to
suffer like he did. Look at it this way. This way I can rate you at least 50%.
What if I don't deserve it?
Well, you deserve a zero?
If I didn't do anything, yes, that's exactly what I deserve, a
All
zero.
Right. Chris, thank you so much for the call. Very, very much appreciated. All right, we got text coming up next, but I want to tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company, fabulous sponsor of the On the Mark show. Sunbury Motor Company's got two main locations, 4th Street Sunbury, that's where they have thousands of vehicles, or the Routes 11 and 15 Hummelsworth, where they have hundreds of vehicles. And guess what? Every single one of them, down to the last vehicle, the last Kia, and soon they'll have the Telluride, and that's got everybody pretty excited over there. You can look at online at sunburymotors.com. So you can do your pre-shopping on sunburymotors.com, and if it happens, which is not impossible, that they don't have the particular Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln, or pre-owned vehicle that's in tip-top shape for you, then you can order your next Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln online at sunburymotors.com. So there's just no way that you can go to the Sunbury Motor Company and walk away unsatisfied, because they have every vehicle in the world ready to go. Or every type of vehicle in the world. They don't have every vehicle in the world there, but I'll tell you what, they got every type, whether it's new or pre-owned, they'll all be ultra-reliable and will be your next form of transportation. SunburyMotors.com. Text, please.
One of our texters says, our grandson goes to St. Teresa School in Pittsburgh. He is failing 7th grade math for not handing in math homework. His report card, and I'm speaking with the teacher, is that he understands all the concepts, knows how to do the math, but because he hands in no homework, he is failing math. Not too sure I agree with the zero when everything about the subject is understood and his test grades are definitely passing. Well, I think the question would be, going in, do they tell you how much homework is going to count toward your grade? If they say homework is going to count 50% toward your grade and you don't turn in any, then you've got to expect what the consequence is.